The lesson tonight is lesson 30, the concentrated power of the Master. He will go in front of him with the spirit and power of Elijah, Luke 1:17. Now, the concentrated power of the Master is not a forced power in any way whatsoever. Some people think that you must make an effort to concentrate, but that is not so. Because if you make an effort at the beginning, the end will be an effort too. If the struggle is in the beginning, you'll also have a struggle in the end, and therefore you have no concentration. There can be no concentration where there is struggle. I gave you a lesson in meditation not very long ago and showed you that meditation wasn't holding the mind in subjection to a particular object or subject, while the mind was confused with many conflicts. You cannot, in any circumstances, concentrate in that way, for the simple reason that all these conditions of the mind, that is, the conditioning of the mind, of your ideas and your beliefs and your emotions, and these things that are not dealt with will crop up into the consciousness all the time. Therefore, you have no concentration. You try to brush aside a particular thought, but it will rise up again. Therefore, if you try to concentrate and subject the mind to your rule, to hold it in subjection to an object or subject, then it's impossible to obtain concentration. The concentration that is necessary when you want real concentration. Because whatever in your mind is also interfering with your concentration, therefore there is no creation. The concentrated power of the Master is a manifestation. It is creativeness. We now come to the stage where we master concentration. In our lesson on meditation, we saw clearly that true meditation was not holding the mind in subjection to an object. While the mind was full of conflicts, there could be no true concentration under this mental condition. Therefore, concentration follows the meditation that clears the mind of all that hinders the expression of that which is beyond mind. Everything you believe in, your beliefs, your ideas, you must see these for what they are, and you will know that they are not truth. They are not that which is beyond the mind. They are something that is in the mind, and these things are relative. Now, the consciousness of man is divided in two. The most extraordinary thing is that man doesn't know it. Consciousness is complete because it has got everything in it. Everything must be in the consciousness of God, otherwise it couldn't exist at all. Therefore, everything must be in your consciousness also, if it is going to exist at all. But what happens to you is this. You are only conscious of the relative things. You are not conscious, as the Master is, of that which is beyond mind, because he is consciousness of all. Therefore, there is a dividing line in the consciousness. This is then relative. What you see and feel and touch, your ideas, your images, your beliefs, and everything that belongs is in the consciousness. Everything you see and feel is here through the senses. But you will notice that there's only half the consciousness. The other half of the consciousness is that which is beyond mind altogether. And that is where creativeness exists. Therefore, the consciousness is divided in two. The Christ is the consciousness that knows above and below. The Christ consciousness is that which can see into the relative and understand it, because you've got to understand the relative before you will ever understand that which is beyond the relative. Therefore, the Christ consciousness sees into the relative and understands it, understands ideas, emotions, conditions, And everything in the relative, he understands them and knows them and how they come about. But you are caught up in them. That's the difference between the two. Therefore, when you're caught up in them and you believe in them, they'll be part and parcel of your own consciousness. You can't rid your consciousness of them until such time as you begin to discern them and understand them. And when you see that they have no power of their own except the power you give them, then they just drop away. But the Christ consciousness knows all these things, plus that which is the Father. I and the Father are one. Creativeness then, as far as the creativeness in the relative reaches here, there. There is no creativeness here at all. In the relative, it can't be. Paul says things are not created out of that which is made, but out of that which is not made. You cannot create then form out of form. You can only create form out of the formless. The concentration is when the whole of this relative portion of the mind is understood. And not to keep the mind in subjection to a particular thing in the relative, thinking that you're going to have concentration, because of the fact that you are struggling to get it. And if you are struggling to get concentration, you'll never have concentration. That is completely true. And you'll find it out for yourself. But if you can discern everything that is relative in your mind, what you do then in true meditation is to see everything passing before your mind completely, not to hold your mind in subjection to a particular thing. But once you understand the whole mental field, then there's a clearing of the mind takes place and the consciousness becomes freed. And in that freedom of the consciousness, is true concentration. That's the concentration of the master. Therefore, if the mind is caught up and believes tradition, conformity, or follows the system, whether it be of the East or the West, that which is beyond the mind cannot be revealed, because you will be following a pattern, a groove that prevents freedom. So if you follow a pattern, whether it is of the East or the West, you are following a groove, you're following a pattern, and you can never be free. If you follow a pattern, you cannot be free. If you enter a groove, you cannot be free. You can only be free when the consciousness is freed from all these things. Then the master comes into operation because he's there all the time. His power is within everyone. When the mind is clear, the consciousness can be aware of an idea in the superconscious state. The mind is the hindrance to this, what we call the superconscious state of the idea. The idea in the absolute form is an idea in the absolute state. But the idea in the relative state is after the idea is passed through the mind. The mind distorts it according to the mind's beliefs and what the mind is caught up in. Therefore, the mind then performs or outpictures the idea, but the idea is nowhere like the absolute state of the idea. But if you cleanse your mind and clear the mind from all that's hindering the expression of that idea, then it becomes a superconscious idea and the ether responds, the ether of space responds. By mastering this concentration comes light of the highest knowledge, but it must be applied by stages so that there is no struggle to attain it. For when that which is beyond time is realized, there is what is known as contention, attention without strain or interruption. Of course, the word contention has another meaning, but if contention means, in the word of the ordinary dictionary, means that you are discontented, there is what we call disturbance. But I've put it here in a different form altogether. So I've taken the liberty of putting contention here as the matter of attention without interruption. If there is struggle, there cannot be freedom. True concentration is true freedom. Your mind must be free. Your consciousness must be free. This concentration I have mentioned is by no means like the concentration known to the ordinary person, because he is not prepared for it. If you have followed up my instructions, you will now be prepared for this, the most powerful versatile instrument in the universe. It means the mobilization of the forces of consciousness and infinite will, which is not the will of the individual, but a will that is in itself complete and not conditioned by any outside influences. A will that is not conditioned in any way whatsoever is a free state of will, which becomes infinite will. And there is nothing that can stop it. Now, Jesus, in his action and his words, he said these words clearly. I of myself am nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. He also said, I and the Father are one. Here was the complete proof of his true understanding, where his mind was completely free from conditioning. His will was free from conditioning. He said, thy will be done, not mine. This is the true master, the producing of the food for the multitude out of the loaves and the fishes was the same thing, but we'll see how that was performed later on. These are not fairy tales, I am telling you. These are not impossible things, I am telling you. These are possible things. But at the present time, perhaps, you feel that they are impossible to you. That's your misfortune. But if your mind was clear of all hindrances, you would see that there was nothing that could prevent this wonderful power from manifesting in your own lives. It is difficult for the ordinary individual to understand what this will is like, because it has to be experienced before it can be felt. When this consciousness and will are directed to a particular idea, then the idea begins to take form out of the ether. I told you before how these forms came forth through electromagnetic vibration. To understand this, you must read my lectures on the last series on this subject. Electromagnetic vibration is the only thing that exists in the universe. Everything that exists is electromagnetic. The basis of every form is ether, the ether of space. In that ether of space is energy. It is quiescent in its nature. I call these particles in the ether etherons that are swept into operation by the electromagnetic vibration of thought. The idea itself is the nucleus all the time, and out from the center of the idea flows the electromagnetic waves which gather together these etherons. And in the compilation and the combination of these form atoms. Atoms form molecules, and the condensation of the atomic structure becomes a visible form that you see, but it is not in any way separated from ether. It's not in any way separated from any other part of the universe. Now the master saw this clearly, and he knew perfectly well that here was the loaves and the fishes. He broke three of them. With this was the idea. Everything came from the ether. Everything is ethereal in nature, and everything is electromagnetic. Your thoughts are electromagnetic too. But Jesus knew this clearly and distinctly, that God created everything. And form was nothing more than the atoms forming. the combination of these atoms forming which produce these things. And I can see clearly how the Master performed these feats. Here was the idea of the loaves and fishes. He broke them up, knowing that there was an eternal supply. Therefore, it became an eternal supply. The idea was the manifestation in its absolute state. But if his mind was conditioned, it could not take place. But when the mind is not conditioned and free, therefore it does take place. That is why the Master's concentration is a concentration when the mind is totally and completely free. Search in your own minds and you will see if your mind is conditioned or not by a belief. If you have any beliefs at all, any ideas that are firmly established in your mind, then I say you're conditioning your mind, and all your thoughts will be according to how you've conditioned your mind. If your mind is so conditioned, then it cannot be free. If you then understand the relative world and all that is in it, including all your religions, all the particular organizations, all your traditions, you will know that they are relative in nature. And you will know that they are created by man himself. If you are conditioned in any way whatsoever, you are not free. But consciousness can only be free when it completely takes in the whole and not a particular section of the whole or a particular speck of the whole. So we see clearly that the mind must be free before it can be understood. Not only can the consciousness be directed towards manifestation, but also towards an object for gaining knowledge and discovering the secrets of the universe. Therefore, perfect concentration is when the mind is in perfect repose, free from all opposites, conflicts, giving it continuous and uninterrupted attention. Remember that meditation is not merely accomplished when the mind is free. There must be continued meditation and rhythmic breathing, which starts pranayama. That is control of the universal energy in order to vitalize the ethereal network surrounding the body and to clear up the nerve channels and gain that perfect repose in the mind. Consciousness must be withdrawn from the physical and concentrated on the idea to accomplish it in the mind. If the consciousness is distracted in any way, this fails. Therefore, you can see again how the Master produced these things. The whole of his consciousness was entirely taken away from the physical or the relative. And with the consciousness concentrated on the idea must manifest. It must manifest according to the law. Your ideals will manifest in your own lives, but these ideals are relative. Your ideal is because you believe in something. Your ideal is because you read something. Your ideal is because somebody's told you this thing. And you create an ideal in your mind of what you should be. And when you think what you should be, of course, you will see that you think that is virtue, but that's not virtue at all. Virtue is knowing what you are, not creating an image of what you're not. So if you don't know what you are, you have no virtue. But virtue comes when you know what you are, and being not afraid of what you are or what is. Therefore it falls away from you, and what's left is virtue, because virtue is God. Virtue is life. That which is free, that's virtue. Not what is caught up in something, that's not virtue. Trying to be respectable, that's not virtue. If the mind is not clear of conflicts, there is a consciousness of that which distracts from the idea held in the superconscious realm. To merely try to suppress these unwanted thoughts is to give them a manifesting power, which distorts the manifestation of the idea. That is why I have made it clear in my lecture on meditation that these not understood thoughts must be discerned and dealt with. If not, they rise again and again when not wanted. The mind can never be free from them until such times you have dealt with them. Through the consciousness, the essence of knowledge must come, and by focusing the consciousness on an object or subject, its secrets are discovered, not only of the external, but of the internal also. When uninterrupted concentration continues, a sustained knowledge regarding the subject or object pours into the mind until the consciousness becomes aware of the reality behind the form. When one is delving into the relative, there is the concentrated mental direction in a relative form into the relative. Now, the consciousness is caught up in this for the time being. And while the consciousness is concentrated, it bores through the very many ideas and objects and conditions belonging to this relative thing. And these things fall away from one another as they understood. When one is understood, it falls away. Another portion is understood and it falls away too. It is that which is not understood that's causing the trouble in your mind. But immediately becomes an understood thing, it falls away. The consciousness becomes aware of it. The next, the same, it falls away. And until such time as all the relative facts about a thing falls away, then the reality of that thing becomes known to you. And that is the master. When consciousness merges itself with the idea, the form of the idea is produced. The substance of mind and atoms of ether take up their respective places in the form. Thus ether is the basis of matter and the framework in which form is built, according to the idea in the mind. The consciousness, the mind, and the idea have become one. When this is understood, the miracles of Jesus are no longer a mystery. Neither is the boundless realm of wisdom so far away from man. So we see clearly how the Master walked on the water. The water became solid to him, and was solid to Peter also. Until such time as he began to think, he brought the whole thing into the relative, into his intellect. And when he brought everything into his intellect, what happened? It just disappeared, because the intellect was the double. Was this. Always double. All the intellect is always double. Always lives in opposites, in duality. Unless you get behind duality and the intellect, which is opposite, you will never understand what reality means. Therefore, Peter, at one time when the Master called him, he was out of the relative, into the real. His idea was absolute. The water became solid underneath him. But immediately entered into the intellect, begin to wander again into the opposites, whether it is good or not, is it possible or not? Then he sank. It's the same with you, every one of you. When you live in the relative, sure as anything you sink. It is only when you recognize what the intellect is and get beyond the intellect can you understand what reality means. But you can get beyond the intellect. It is possible to get beyond the intellect, but it must be done in this way, through the Master, the way the Master trod, that's your way. What I do, greater things shall you do, if you will but believe. So in the superconscious state we gain admission into the ultimate universal source of knowledge. Every one of us draws unconsciously from this same source according to our capacity to receive. Understanding and intensity of awareness are the keys. When we draw from this fountain of wisdom, knowledge, and eternal youth, the gloom and darkness of ignorance, which is the cause of all human suffering, disappears. A beacon of eternal wisdom and love pours its rays into the mind to illuminate. We then solve the mystery of mysteries and actually become aware of reality in which we move and live, being our life and substance. Therefore, I'm alive and living. That's a relative thought, an idea, until such time as I discard the idea and find that it's absolutely true. If it's an idea in your mind, it is not a truth. It belongs to your mind. But if you can actually know that you are alive, now, at this very moment, you will know it. It will perhaps just be for a split second, but then that split second can be renewed and renewed and renewed. But when it's passed, it becomes a memory in your mind. If you try to recapture it again, it's gone. You can never recapture it. That is in your mind now. That's a memory. But a memory is not reality. That's something in your mind, something that's past. But reality is always present. It is ever living. We can say without contradiction that this is the way the Master gains all knowledge of all qualities of matter before our Western scientists ever dreamt of the atom. With the Master's mental equipment, such as his electronic microscope, his most powerful telescope, his radio and television receiving and transmitting set, his most vibrant powerhouse, his most powerful magnet and cyclotron, his mental library contains all the knowledge that has been published or ever can be published. That is the Master, and that was Jesus Christ. By mastering Samyama, that means uninterrupted concentration, the Master can focus this unique, powerful instrument on any secret past, present, or future, and discover and read the hidden heart. Nothing can remain unrevealed to him. This can also be ours as well, for did not the great Master say, these things and greater things shall you do, if you will but believe? Hundreds of people come to me, and yet they tell me their story. But while they're telling me their story, I'm reading all about them. The whole thing pictures up clearly the cause of the trouble, how it comes about, and so forth. A woman came to me, and she was telling me how her trouble started, and I said, now, listen to me. If you forgive your sister, you will find that your trouble will disappear. And she started back. She said, how do you know? But you don't know what they did to me. I said, that's it. But did you not remember those words for your own protection? Bless them that curse you. Do good unto those that hurt you. That's for your own protection. Now go and forgive your sister. Come back next week and we'll see. When she came back next week, her trouble had disappeared. And she wondered, how is it possible that you knew? I said, well, you see, when you're talking to me, I read your mind. I saw behind the cause of your trouble. And there is an open book. So a person came to me the other day, She had suffered with the trouble for 12 years. And in one treatment she was cured and she went away. She came back the following week and she told me the story. She said, 2 or 3 years ago I was told to come to you, but I wouldn't believe. I wouldn't believe it was true. But now I know it is true. But I tried to tell my friends to come and see you, but I saw they wouldn't believe either. But then I saw myself. And it was there a clear way that she could see herself. And it is the same thing always. We can see ourselves in our neighbors. In our relation to our neighbors, we can see ourselves. We can discover ourselves according to our relationship to one another. According to how you act towards one another. If you are wide awake, it will be a self-revealing process. And then it will free your mind. But when you are afraid to look at these things, the conditions, the way in which you are conditioned, then they become part and parcel of you. And not only that, if you're afraid of them, then you can never be free from them. That is why the Master says, look upon it as you would look upon a screen and see all these things that are in your mind passing before you without condemnation, without analysis of any kind, without fear, and you shall be free. Why? Because the self is an illusion anyhow, and that belongs to the self. It doesn't belong to the real self. The real self is not caught up in these things, because the real self is that portion that belongs to God, real, not the relative, but that which is in reality. So therefore, you never need to fear the relative, because it's got no power over you, except you give it that power. What I am telling you now is by no means a fairy tale, as many believe, but actually truth. For all power is given unto us in heaven and on earth, when we gain the understanding and knowledge of how. This stage comes after the stage of Samadhi, which is the highly prized state of the yogi. And when we reach that state, we do not rest as some of the yogi do, but proceed on our way to be as the master of masters who perform miracles through his complete understanding. The Father and I are one. There is nothing impossible to the Father. Neither is there to the Son, who realizes that the Father and he are one. And this is the thing. It's a platitude to your mind. Oh, yes, you can repeat it a million times, but it doesn't do you any good. You can repeat the word God 1,000,000,000 times, but it makes no difference to you at all. Not until you begin to understand what I'm showing you. Each stage is mastered step by step, one following upon the other, until our amazing accomplishments are realized through application, until mastery over the natural elements is gained, their nature, their constant characteristics, their subtle properties, and their all-pervading qualities, and their basic purpose. Through the application of ourselves to these duties, we gain, first, fine complexion, a graceful strength, and characterizes the perfection of the body. Now, in these various subtle properties of the elements, they are difficult for us to understand, and I'm not going to deal with them tonight because of the fact that you would have for one element alone would take you one evening and show you what one element meant and how the next element acted upon it and so forth. You have the five elements such as ether, air, fire, water, air, the basic elements. But they represent a lot of other things as well. They represent the basics, the bases, the movement in that base, the expansion in that base, the contraction in that base, and the cohesion in that base. Because all is electromagnetic. In fact, we know that if we have the power to control the electromagnetic conditions of ourselves or anything, we have the power to travel from here to any planet we wish. You see, everything is electromagnetic. In my teachings, the teachings that I have had from the Masters, we know what electromagnetic means. It means something that pours right through the very walls of the atom and transforms them. Therefore, if you increase the intensity of the magnetic side, you become magnetic to a particular thing, whatever it is may be. If you increase what we call the electro side or the electric side, you also have a repulsion of that. You have something that's going away from it. If you can then balance these two in any way you like, you can leave this earth and fly to any particular planet you can, no matter where it is, because the same operation is everywhere, because it's in the ether. Ether is everywhere, and in fact, ether fills the whole universe. In the ether is the electromagnetic. If you can use this power out of the ether direct, you have found the means of traveling anywhere in the physical body, because you can change the polarity according to what you want. And you can fly, if you wish to, by altering the positive and negative of these forces. You can travel at 1,000,000 miles an hour, if you like, because electromagnetic waves travel at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. Now, I am convinced, with my knowledge before, which I have never explained to anybody, because of the fact that it is too far advanced most people to understand, but you will understand what I am saying. That there may be, and there may be a truth in the fact that these so-called sources we are seeing at the present time may be some planets or some people in another planet who have found out the means of using the energy direct from the ether to produce a machine that may travel in any space at any time, this way or that way. We will eventually find it too. We're gradually going to it. Our thought's electromagnetic. Your thought is electromagnetic. What does thought do? It enters into the ether. In the ether is the atom. It enters into the walls of the atoms and causes the atoms to change, transform. You're doing it all the time in your bodies. For instance now, here is the truth which we learn from the Master, is using directly from the ether, and we draw into the ether just the same way. Now, I'll show you a most peculiar thing you've never seen before, perhaps. So I take from the ether. I'll produce now from the ether. Put your hand out. Now underneath your hand, you feel a solid feeling, a solid form lying beneath your hand. Now you can lay your hand on it and your hand will stay there. Isn't that so? There you are. That is producing out of the ether. But I'm not going to go into the details of these things. But someday we will all learn it. I practice what we call pranayama. Every morning, a little bit of pranayama. I take from the ether what I require. I work all day, this morning early from 8:30. I didn't finish till 5. I drove the car from here right away down here, and I'm lecturing here, and I'm going back tonight. I work every day from morning till night, and therefore people say, how does he do it? But it's quite simple. There is nothing difficult about it. But your mind must be clear. You must cleanse the mind of all the things that is hindering it. If you have a belief in any organized belief of any kind whatsoever, then your mind is not free. You are limiting yourself to a particular thing. Through the application of ourselves to these duties, we gain a fine complexion, graceful strength that characterizes perfection of the body. Mastery over every organ of sense is attained by freeing the consciousness and understand its basic function of each sense. Then comes the power and velocity of the mind through unobstructed exercises in meditation, independent of the body, with mastery over the root of all substance that underlies all forms, that is the ether, otherwise the prana. Then comes the distinctive relation between sattva, soul, and purusha, spirit. Omnipotence, omniscience is obtained. That is to say, the distinct relation between the spirit and soul. That is, between the consciousness and the mind. Spirit alone has consciousness. It is the Spirit of God that has consciousness. The mind is the vehicle of that consciousness, and the body is the vehicle of the mind. The three are one, just as ice, water, and steam are one. Then comes the renouncing or non-attachment to these powers. Absolute freedom is found and the seed of bondage is destroyed. The secret of mind over matter is the understanding, the analysis of the subtle constituents of the elements. The non-attachment to any power is freedom. If you then are attached to any particular power, occult power, and any other power, you are not free. That's not the master. Look to Jesus as the finest example of all masters, because he was the epitome of freedom. And his whole work was clear and distinct. I and the Father are one. From that particular standpoint, he did everything, because what the Father could do, so the Son could do, because the Son had the same life in him as the Father had. It was life then that was conscious. The life then was creative. And he was not caught up in the self, because he dissolved the self long ago when he went out into the desert. That self was the Satan that tempted him. The outer self was the Satan that tempted him to this and that. But he said clearly and distinctly, and especially with that, because he would not have anything go in front of that which was real. Which was real, which was the Spirit of God himself. The Son was the Spirit of God manifesting, or manifested. Therefore, he would not allow any self, which was an illusion, to go in front of him. Just as it says in the Bible, thou shalt not have an image before me. So Jesus dealt with this self in the desert. And he said, get ye behind me, Satan, or as it were, you shall dissolve away into nothing while you belong. Because Satan has no power of his own. The very fact of the non-existence of Satan gives Satan the power. Because if God is, then Satan cannot be, because God is one. And if Satan is, then God is Satan, because there is no other but God. I am the only one. Therefore also, if hell exists, it must exist also in God, because there is nothing outside God, God being infinite in nature. And because God being everywhere, omnipresent, therefore God must be in hell too. So therefore the whole thing is ridiculous. It is but a figment of man's imagination. And as soon as we realize this and free the mind from all these hindrances and limitations, then you shall know the truth. You shall be able to say to the ether to become solid beneath that woman's hand, where she could lay her hand upon it. So does the water become solid upon he who walks upon it. To elaborate on the details of the natural elements is not intended in this course because of extreme complications. Besides, it is not in our intention to become caught up in the occult powers because they are obstacles in our path to absolute freedom. Therefore, we will not occupy ourselves with this practice of occult powers, for the exercise of such powers prevents our absolute freedom from desire and attachment. It is attachment that hinders us from realizing the ocean of life in which we live and move. This absolute essence of existence is our eternal life. Yogi goes along a certain distance. He's trying to become, always becoming, and therefore he never does become. He reaches a state of samadhi and he stops. He thinks he has reached then the ultimate, but he has not. The masters show you perfectly clearly that that is the beginning of entering into the great powers of the masters. And it is true. You see, immediately you are caught up in occult powers that consciousness is not free, it's limited. The master then, and I always take my example from Jesus because he was the greatest master. And his mind to me is as clear as crystal because I understand his words and I can understand because what I have been taught and what I know now is this, that he was not caught up in any of these powers whatsoever. He was free. I am showing you this way of freedom, this complete way of freedom, where there is no struggle. You're trying to become something. Well, you never will, because tomorrow never comes. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He didn't say tomorrow or the next day, because God is, he was, and he is. Because God is, you are, now, not tomorrow, or the next day. And if you are not now, you never will be, and becoming is an illusion. There is the difference between Master and Jesus. That is the difference. Freedom. The difference between one who knows and one who does not know is this. The untrained passion dissipates and scatters his forces in the form of weak and incoherent thoughts generated in rapid succession and dispersed into the ether. These unrelated and mixed thoughts are electromagnetic waves causing damage not only in the body but beyond it. Therefore, the passion who does not know cannot rest for any length of time on a particular subject or object, but instead jumps from one branch to another like a restless bird. Forces are therefore dissipated and cannot be used for any particular purpose effectively. Through the habit of years of restless thinking, the mind is never able to function with success. It becomes entangled in defeat and gloom without knowing why. Like a rudderless ship tossed by the waves and left to the mercy of the winds of chance, which the ignorant call their destiny. If we are not familiar with the functions of the mind, in this ignorance lies the source of all trouble and suffering. One who knows is not a superhuman person, but has been fortunate to discern his ignorance of the subtle laws of life. He discerns his errors and adjusts his habits of thinking and acting and learns the secrets of his existence. He becomes aware of the limitless power of the mind and the omnipotent and omniscient qualities of his consciousness. And through proper meditation, discovering the true seer acting within him, the Father and I are one, is no longer a platitude to him, but a naturality. That is Master. I have been trying to show you clearly what the Master's mind is like, and how it functions, and how all power has been given into him in heaven and on earth. It is not a saying, it's a natural reality. But unless you can know this through the cleansing of your mind, and remember, it is rather difficult for you to do, it's a very strenuous thing, because it means giving up all these ideas and ideals you've had of the past. Even your most cherished ideals must be dealt with and dissolved away. Otherwise, you will be expressing those ideals and not reality. Not that which is beyond mind. You will be expressing according to your ideals. Ideals will never bring happiness and peace to the air. When we do away with ideas, ideologies, and beliefs, then we will see that there is one bond between every living soul in the universe. And in that bond, which is freedom, is peace, harmony, and love. Love cannot exist when there is separate ideas and ideals. Love cannot exist when there are separate groups, separate religions, and so forth. Love cannot flourish when there is any separation whatsoever. Therefore, discern into your minds and become aware of your relationship to one another and how that relationship appears to you. Then you will discover yourselves. When that discovery comes, these things will fall away, because you'll be no longer afraid of them. But some of you will tear your hearts out because you cannot give up that which has grown up with you from your infancy. But it must be discarded and eliminated because it prevents you from understanding your brother. Any ideal that is limited in any way whatsoever can never be a means of bringing happiness and peace upon earth. But when all ideas, all beliefs that are separating man from man can be discarded and dissolved, then peace will remain, because peace is now here. In this very moment, peace is. What is preventing peace? It is your ideas, your ideals, your separations, your groups, your separate religions, your separate denominations, your political groups, your nationalities. These are the things that are preventing peace. Dissolve them away and peace is established. When these things are dissolved away, there is love and wisdom. That is peace. In the knowledge of the ultimate reality, he is endowed with the power beyond the remotest ideas of the one who does not know. In this assurance, he radiates an aura of power and impresses all whom he comes in contact with. He becomes aware of his consciousness, that invisible magic cable which permeates the various subtle bodies down to the physical. He becomes a mental athlete through effortless manifestation, and directs his concentrated power on any subject or object to obtain a secret. Occult powers are obtained, yet he brushes them aside and reaches that which is beyond time and space. For all power is given unto him in heaven and on earth. He saw wisdom then and studied her, worked with her, and proved her. Job 28:27. Benediction. O Eternal One, thy will in me is all power. Without thee I am weak and torn with conflict and ignorance. When I learned of thy presence within me, my sorrow turned to joy. Now I find thy presence is omnipotent and omniscient. all power and all wisdom invested in me. Step by step, I climbed the stairs of progress until all was revealed unto me. What is thine is also mine, O eternal God. Present him to the sanctuary of the silent room. This silence, there is peace. The mind is free from all that limits it. God.